Coming up on this edition of Locked On Wizards, we discuss the Wizards' loss to the Sixers before Marcus Matthews, head of social media for the Undefeated, returns to the show to discuss the NBA restart and playoff prediction. Listen to it all here on Locked On Wizards. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Wizards. I'm your host, Renee Washington, and today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com, an amazing selection with reliably low prices and all the parts your car will ever need. We saw on Wednesday the Sixers defeated the Wizards, handing them their fourth straight loss as they remain winless in the NBA restart. Post-game, head coach Scott Brooks said, quote, "We're not losing, we're just learning how to win." The Wizards are definitely taking their lumps here in the bubble as they are figuring some things out. Looking at the game specifically, the Sixers were led by Joel Embiid's 30 points, 11 rebounds, and Josh Richardson chipped in with 15 points. Tobias Harris finished with 17.6 rebounds, and Ben Simmons left the game early. And bad news for the Philadelphia 76ers Thursday, as news broke, Ben Simmons did suffer a partially dislocated left kneecap. Ouch. As for the Wizards, they were led by 17 points, 8 rebounds from Troy Brown Jr., Jerome Robinson off the bench, one of the leading scorers. Him and Thomas Bryant finished with 19 points. Thomas Bryant yet again with a double-double, 19 points, 10 rebounds. As we saw, four players for the Wizards finish in double digits. Ish Smith the fourth with 12 points on the game, 5 rebounds and 6 assists. And for the Wizards, we'll get into more on their loss to the Sixers as they're continuing to be challenged in the restart. As we knew, it was not going to be an easy 8 games for them. We're seeing the young players, specifically Troy Brown Jr., Thomas Bryant, Jerome Robinson off the bench, Rui Hachimura, who only finished with 8 points, 8 rebounds in the game. But we're still seeing a lot of growth for all of these young Wizards players, getting experience, getting minutes. And we'll discuss more around the team in our Friday edition of Locked On Wizards with some interviews and updates from the team. So now joining us on Locked On Wizards yet again, we've got Marcus Matthews back on the show, head of social for the Undefeated, as we get into the NBA playoffs and the NBA restart as a whole with some predictions moving forward for the postseason. Marcus, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
So I'm curious to know your thoughts, even as the NBA restart has had this schedule where they play every other day, every team has one back-to-back throughout the restart. Some teams like the Lakers, like the Bucks on the East, already have locked up their playoff spot, don't have to really worry about playing right now to win, in a sense. They really can just go out there and just play and work on things. It's kind of like a scrimmage period for them still. Get guys minutes, right. You know, rest your players like LeBron, and making sure that they're healthy coming into the playoffs. Hate to use that word, load management, but it's a different kind of load management. Right. It's a little different than load management. It's more just being smart. How do you think this will affect players in the long run, this every other day playing? And also something that actually I've been following is the fact that if a player has any sort of inconclusive positive test for COVID or any result that's not a negative, they could sit out 24 hours. And now as we're getting into the playoffs, what do you think about long-term, how this is going to affect players, if at all, having games so close together, especially for those teams that are, you know, trying to get into the playoffs or even just trying to get a higher seed for the playoffs?
I don't know, man. I think, you know, the wear and tear is not that big of a concern to me right now because you had such a huge time off. So you had, so say, I think the season was paused in the middle of March, and then it just picked up, like, what, 2 weeks ago. So it's like, basically, that was like the off season. So right. It's like now we kind of getting back into, like, the first part of the season, how it would be on a regular basis just a couple months earlier. So, I mean, these guys are professional athletes. So, I mean, I think for the most part, a lot of these guys were, you know, if not hooping every day, but still keeping themselves in shape, working out in like small groups and stuff like that. So, you know, a lot of players, kind of just picked up where they kind of left off. Now, I would be more concerned if we had players who had injuries coming into it, or, you know, or it's like, you know, early in the season, we're recovering from certain injuries and then just kind of getting back into the grind and really forcing it. Like, you know, teams, say, like Indiana with, like, Oladipo trying to come back and fit in. And it's like, you know, it's like you don't want to go too hard, but it's like, A, you want to help your team. And like in his instance, you know, he's about, I think he's either going to be a free agent or going up into like his free agent year. So he has to show like a lot of people, like he's healthy. He still can, you know, drop buckets at an all-star level where he left off. And so like a lot of people with different motivations, you know, why, you know, they decide to come back. And like, I think like that every other day is really, I mean, especially like once we get into intense playoff basketball, when, cause you haven't really seen a lot of defense played, you know, in these games so far, but you know, once playoffs start and these matchups become a lot more half court oriented, you see like a lot of grind, and then it's like, it scares me every time AD hits the floor, because you know his history with injuries.
Every single time I'm like holding my breath.
Right. And he plays so hard. But I mean, it's like, I try not to think about like just what, you know, like what if may happen. But I think it all depends on like, you know, how you manage the minutes. I think because like in the Lakers instance, that they can kind of rest a little bit now and not have to worry about really like, you know, full throttle, you know, to the end of the season. I think one thing though for the Lakers is really going to be how that AC shakes out, because with Jaren Jackson now being ruled out for the rest of the season with that meniscus tear that he had in his knee from last night, that's going to be, I mean, that may make the Grizzlies fall back, you know, out of that AFC, and may allow Portland or the Pelicans to jump up into the AFC. And those are going to be, I think the Lakers can beat those guys, but think about like the Lakers facing the Grizzlies, which more than likely would have probably been like a four game or five game gentleman sweep, to now you end up having to play the Trailblazers, who is a tough matchup, or the Pelicans, and that may end up going like five, maybe six games, and that's the first round. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I think it just depends on how stuff shakes out in matchups. But I think from the COVID standpoint, I think we're pretty good. I think the NBA, you know, out of everyone, has really showed the best way to handle this situation. I mean, of course, you can't do this for a full season, but the way they have it structured now, and I mean, there's no way they can do this for next season. And I think, you know, like it came out today that they said there's no way they'd be able to do it for next season. But the way it is now, how everyone is so isolated, and how, you know, everyone's going to test every day, but you're not really having interaction with anyone outside the bubble, I think we're pretty much good, you know, from a standpoint of any COVID scares.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like you really are, you know, I mean – I know you. I mean, it's going to be inevitable. You're going to see like a serious injury, because just like just how hard these guys are going in a short period. Just like Isaac's from Orlando, who blew his knee out a couple nights ago, and he basically had a knee injury earlier in the season and was kind of rehabbing and coming back, and decided to come back and play in the bubble. And then you see what happened with that. So hopefully we won't get into any of those type of situations. But you know, it's kind of like a hold your breath sort of stance.
Yeah, that's a great point. Once the news came out around the league moving their testing rules to, if you have an inconclusive test, you only sit out 24 hours instead of 48 hours, I still don't feel as though it would affect anybody. Now, the only question mark could come around when players are allowed to have their families come into the bubble. But seeing how the NBA has so far done a great job with everything that's entered the bubble, from people to even packages, I don't imagine that they're going to slip up in that area too, and that anybody that comes in, they're going to be properly quarantined and transitioned properly into the bubble, just like they did with all of the players. But as you mentioned with injuries, that is my biggest question mark. We've seen a lot of rolled ankles. You know, we've seen Zion stepped out of his shoe. You know, James Harden rolled his ankle. Drew Holiday had a scary fall. There's been a number of really scary plays. And as you mentioned, even injuries already that we've been seeing. And that has also actually been my biggest concern for the return as a whole, is just having 4.5 months off is an off season. And to come back and jump right into playing 8 games and 3 scrimmages is really not enough of a full preseason. You know, for some teams, they need to win these 8 games. You know, the Lakers, the Bucks, they're fortunate. They can kind of still use this time as a preseason. For some, it is, they're right back into it. You have to play hard. You have to win. So being forced to just jump back in so quickly at a high level does leave room for injury and put you at a higher risk. And now playing every other day only increases that chance. And that's across all sports, the WNBA, the NBA. That's honestly one of my biggest concerns for athletes as a whole as they're returning back, is just, can they safely do it? And goodness, I hope we don't see anything But there's definitely been some plays that I've been like holding my breath. Yeah, like,
exactly.
Oh boy, please get up. Please get up. So yes.
and I think like you said, I think like once we get into the playoffs and the intensity kind of is ratcheted up, is that, you know, that's when you're really going to really have the injuries. And then, you know, like normally in the playoffs, it's like, it's because of like how, you know, for TV and all like that and travel, it's really like spaced out a little bit. So like, if you do have an injury to a key player, you may have a day or two, you know, sometimes three in certain situations to kind of like rest and be able to come back for the next game. Whereas like in this setup for NBA or WNBA, like if a player goes down, like you probably won't have that player for the next game.
Exactly. There's no time to rest, which now forces you to either have them rush back too soon or miss a game. And that is the biggest concern. There's no room to get sick. There's no room to get injured. You know, if your team has momentum, you miss a game, you're injured, you're a top player, you miss that game, that could change the whole and swing the entire momentum of the series. So coming up, we'll get into more around the NBA restart with Marcus right here on Locked On Wizards. Who says car repairs have to be expensive for quality? Well, for over 20 years, rockauto.com has been the place to get everything done, from brake parts to tail lamps to even new carpets. And regardless if you're a professional or a do-it-yourselfer, it's easy, convenient, and best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low. It's a family business that puts your family first. We're still in the midst of a pandemic dealing with COVID-19, everyone. So why spend twice as much for the same parts when you can save money for you and your family? Shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers for countless makes and models. And one of the best parts about it, whether you're on your phone or your computer, you have quick service right at your fingertips. So go head over to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we at Locked On Wizards sent you. Marcus Matthews, head of social for the Undefeated, joining me for the second day here on Locked On Wizards. Let's get right back into it. Taking a look at the playoffs as a whole, one of the best things that I love about this year is the fact that we really, even now seeing teams return to the NBA restart, it only validates what we've all been saying, that there are so many teams that can win a championship. It's not as easy in the as it was in the past where you can say, okay, this team is the Golden State Warriors are definitely going to win it all unless LeBron is able to work a miracle and lead his team to knock them off. No, this year there are some serious contenders to win the championship. But even taking a step back, there are a lot of contenders that can still make those final spots in their conference. You know, for the East, we have six teams that have clinched, the Sixers being at the number six spot. For the West, we've got seven teams that have clinched, with the Mavs being at number seven. And looking at those teams on the outside looking in, you know, as you mentioned, could be the Grizzlies, could be the Trailblazers, could be the Pelicans. It is just exciting to see all these teams fighting for a playoff spot and just how competitive each game has been. So I just want to ask you, what has been one of the most exciting parts or takeaways from the NBA restart so far, as we've seen the first couple days play out and watching just basketball is back, watching the NBA return? And, you know, has it exceeded expectations or surprised you in any way, and how we've seen the games play out so far?
I mean, the NBA restart has just been just like a breath of fresh air, you know, for someone that's like so used to just like being just like just engulfed by sports all the time. And it's like, I was talking to somebody 2 days ago, and it was like every day it's like when March Madness comes around for like the first weekend, and it's like hoops from like noon to like midnight or later sometimes. And it's a great feeling. And then like all the game, I mean, I think outside of like maybe one or two of the contests have been blowouts, all these games have been very competitive and have really gone down to the wire. And I mean, like I said, it's like I know a lot of defense hasn't been played, but a lot of like high quality offensive basketball has gone on. And I mean, I know everyone is like, you know, it's like all the AAU jokes and so forth and so on. But I've been thoroughly entertained. I pretty much have watched the majority of all the games that have been on so far. And I mean, if you're a hoop fan, I mean, it's just like you're like a kid in a candy store.
Oh yeah, it absolutely gives the March Madness feel to it. Just and just the excitement. I know the AAU and even the college comparison has been made several times, but one of the best things about it is it really takes the game back to the basics. This is what right. is so incredible about basketball. You know, there are no fans, there's no extra, anything extra is just what we all enjoy the most. Two teams going at it head to head on the floor. The virtual fans have been interesting. Don't get me wrong. The virtual audio is interesting. It's been
interesting is a nice word.
Yeah, interesting. You know, I actually keep finding myself forgetting that there are no fans, because when I'm watching a game on TV anyways, you know, the crowd is just there. Like, I'm not looking at the crowd specifically. You're looking at what's going on the floor. So I honestly keep finding myself forgetting that, oh, shoot, there's no fans.
And so have you noticed the fake crowd noise that they pumped in there?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And
are you thrown off by it, or are you good with it?
I actually don't mind it, because especially when they play like the defense and chant and the like cliche arena sounds, it just like feels real. When they have the fake audio of like the fans cheering, that's a little different. But it sounds, if you're not looking at the fans, it doesn't feel like they're fake fans. To me.
Right. So like I got, like, after the first day or two, I got pretty much used to it. And it's like me, I'm a big like 2K player. And it's just like, to me, it's really no big difference than when you playing 2K and the crowd sounds and then what we looking at on TV. The only thing that was throwing me off like the first like day or two was like it seemed like the virtual fans were like a little off. So it seemed like they were like delayed some way. But now it seems like a little more in tune with what's going on. So maybe they had to tweak it or whatever like that. But I mean, I haven't been, you know, that thrown off of it. But it's like, yeah, it's like you're more locked into like the action on the floor, and like the, you know, how the zoomed in look of the cameras don't even, like, you're not even really focused on the crowd. So after a while, you just forget there's no crowd even there, for real.
I'm not going to lie, at first, because it was the same thing with soccer too. When I was watching soccer, it felt like I was playing FIFA, and basketball definitely gives me 2K vibes at first. Now, the thing that has helped is now that games have started, it's ramped up the intensity of the games. So it doesn't, like, it felt kind of like summer league 2K, like it didn't feel real. But now that games have amped up and it's official, I don't notice the fake crowd anymore. Now, of course, every time they zoom in on it and they, you know, they have to get their money's worth. They're trying to show people, you know, if you're in the fake crowd, we're going to show you, and seeing how people are so excited to be still on camera, even though it's a virtual, you're on camera, if that makes sense. That part is like, oh yeah, that's right. There are fake fans here. But other than that, when they're zoomed in on the court, I honestly, at this point, don't even notice it. And I agree. I feel like they tweaked it, because there were times where someone would score and then it'd be like pause, cheering. Like, it'd be a little delayed that you were like, oh, that's not real. That's clearly not real. But now the chants, the music, all that is spot on. But I do want to ask you and get your take on this. Putting you on the spot a little bit in the hot seat.
Uh-oh.
We'll start with the Eastern Conference, because it may be easier, since there's three teams fighting for two spots. And by three, I mean the Wizards, Magic, and Nets. Now, we're on Locked On Wizards, so we got to talk about the Wizards, too.
did you really just mention the Wizards' name?
We are on Locked On Wizards. We have to talk about the Wizards.
Okay, respect.
Yes. Okay, so do you see – let me backtrack. Do you see the Wizards getting a win in the remainder of their games?
I mean, I would expect for them to at least get one win before leaving Orlando. I think because, like, what they're 0-3 in exhibition, and now they've been 0-3 so far. They lost all their games when they counted. So they have five more left. So I would imagine at least in one of those five chances, maybe the last game, which may not mean anything to whoever else they get up there, they have to play the last game, they'll get one. But I'm going to go ahead and say I will put my money on them at least getting one win out of it.
Right. They play the Sixers Wednesday, then they play the Pelicans, Thunder, Bucks, and then finishing up with the Celtics. It's a tough schedule for sure. But as you mentioned, if they're playing a team like the Bucks, they play the second to last game. The Celtics, they play in that final game. It might honestly not a throwaway game, but that team might just be working on things. Like, we've seen the Bucks, even when they played the Nets, the Bucks didn't really play Giannis and Chris Middleton as much. Right. You know, you're seeing teams that have clinched, those two teams that have clinched a spot with the Bucks and the Lakers, kind of take their foot off the gas in a sense, just to work on things. They're still out there playing hard, don't get me wrong, but it's a different focus.
Okay. I say Bucks or Celtics, they'll get a win.
Okay. I could definitely see that. So then do you see Nets at number 7 and Magic at number 8? I don't know if it even matters either way, who's 7 versus who 8, who's 8.
I mean, the Nets, they have like a half game lead over the Magic right now. Have they played yet? I think they play in the bubble.
They played the very first. Was that the first game they played each other? Magic Nets. Yes, I couldn't remember if it was the first or the second. Yes, they played each other Friday, and then the Nets beat the Wizards on Sunday.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think if one of them finishes 7, I don't think it really makes a difference. I think Milwaukee will be just fine playing the Magic as they would the Nets. I don't think that, you know, either one of those pose much of a threat, you know, to the Bucks or the Raptors, you know, at number 2. So they could swap back and forth. they still probably going home 4-0 swept.
Okay, fair enough. Well, then the real question, that's why I started off with the East to transition you in and give you some time to think, because we're going to get into the West, of course. Coming up, 6 teams fighting for one spot. Who clinches the number 8 seed in the Western Conference? Marcus Matthews, head of social for the Undefeated, joining me here on Locked On Wizards to discuss his predictions for the final team to clinch a playoff spot in the West. 7 teams have clinched, with the Lakers being at number 1, Clippers, Nuggets right now. Clippers, Nuggets, Rockets, Jazz, Thunder, and Mavs have clinched the next spots. And then we have competing for that number 8 spot, or even a play-in game. There still could be a play-in game.
I guarantee you it'll be a play-in game.
There's absolutely going to be a play-in game, but especially with, you have the Grizzlies, Trailblazers, Spurs, Pelicans right there, and even the Suns, of course, that are all trying to get that final spot in. 5 teams competing for one spot. Who's gonna get it?
If I had to put my money on it, I would say Portland.
Dame Dollar,
and Melo, and CJ.
Hoodie Mello and Dave Dollar.
I think they will squeeze into that 8 slot. Even if the Grizzlies kind of fell out of even being able to play and be eligible for the play-in game, I would say the Pelicans would probably be in it over the Spurs. And if I had the Blazers and the Pelicans, I'm going Blazers. You know, easy with that one.
Easy. Okay. I will say that one thing that you can't count out Damian Lillard.
Right.
You know, if he's played for a playoff spot and he's going up against a younger Pelicans team, a younger Ja Morant and the Grizzlies, you know, I think in that moment, that's where his experience really comes into play. And we've seen him in clutch moments, of course, and how he steps up. I could see that. I could absolutely see that. You know, it's great to see Pop and the Spurs still in the conversation. You know, I know a lot of people kind of not sleep on the Spurs, but they're a team that you forget about at times, and they're always right there. You know, DeMar DeRozan, Pop, he always finds a way, whoever's on his team, to get them into the spot where they're at least competing for a playoff spot.
If they had LaMarcus Aldridge in the bubble, I would say they probably might be more of a threat, but without him, I think, you know, they'll fall short.
Yes. I tend to agree with you there that I do think out of that group from top to bottom, when you're talking playoffs, when you're talking about a play-in game, the Trailblazers. I will say, though, I hope there is a play-in game. There's got to be one. But I'm hoping for one.
Definitely.
I'm hoping for one. Let's keep this excitement going. Let's keep it going.
You can guarantee that. Get your popcorn ready for that, because it's coming.
Yes. So one of the things that I've definitely enjoyed around – the game so far is just the fact that we're seeing so many teams, how they're returning, you know, players, how they're returning. Some players like TJ Warren for the Pacers, or, you know, Fred VanVleet just had an incredible game for the Raptors. We're seeing players have these breakout games where they are really showing, okay, they've been working through this offseason. As of now, as of this moment that we're having this conversation, if there was an award for MVP, and I might have just spoiled it and gave you the answer, if there was an award for MVP right now for the bubble, we're just looking at the bubble, Who's your player or top two players that you think have really shown out so far in the
restart? Mean, you got to go TJ Warren as I mean, it's just, I mean, what he's done, you know, the last two games, I mean, for, you know, for someone that no one really was counting on him, like really adding to what the Pacers can do. And he's just been killing. I think also Michael Porter Jr. for Denver has been like lighting it up. He's coming off that career high game he had in that overtime win. I would say TJ Warren. If I had to pick a second or runner up, I would say Michael Porter Jr. I'm gonna go, I would say 83rd probably.
Okay. It has to be TJ Warren. I mean, you have a career high 53 points. Then you turn around and he dropped 34 against the Wizards. And he's, but it's more been how he's playing, not even just the numbers. Like he's a walking bucket right now. Anytime he gets the ball, he's a threat. And he is someone that with Victor Oladipo and you know, the Pacers as a whole, he kind of has been underrated. And he's showing people like, okay, this is why I am who I am. This is why I'm so great. You know, the Suns may have passed up on him and didn't use him to the best of his ability, but he's someone that is has the ability to score from all points of the floor. You know, and his stat line has been incredible, from points to assists to no turnovers. It's just been, he has absolutely been the MVP. Who do you feel like right now has been slacking and didn't come back ready and has been disappointing with how they've returned for the NBA restart?
I mean, you know, like the Sixers still haven't showed me that
the whole team.
It's like they one game they're up, the other game's like, what the hell is going on? What are they doing? I mean, the Grizzlies, I've been really disappointed in them because, you know, it's like coming in, like they knew that they had, I think they may have had like the hardest schedule remaining. And it's like all they were focused on was the format. Oh, it's not fair. We got the AC, and then y'all gonna allow people like to have playoff games. Like, dude, just win. Just go out there, handle your business, and you don't have to worry about it. But if you do, whatever. It's everyone is like, it's the cards you've been dealt. Like, this is not a normal season. This is the best way they figure out to make it happen. And yeah, it's not fair. I mean, it's like the way the season has been, like, so strength of schedule was kind of all thrown off. And, you know, so stuff. So it's like, okay, it is what it is. You guys are young, scrappy bunch. Just come out and hoop. And I think they came in with that just mentality, just too focused on what may happen. And so they haven't handled business so far. So I've been kind of just disappointed in them really more so than any other team.
You know, that is something that definitely, when you talk about how a team has returned and being focused on the wrong things, there's the hard part with the Grizzlies being so frustrated and focused on the fact that they're the number 8 seed, and why do I have to, you know, why do we still have to play these games? We're number 8, we should be in, is the fact that, as you mentioned, with games left in the season, that could have changed. As we're seeing, you know, that they might have been number 8 when the season paused.
Right.
But I personally like the way that the NBA has done it. I think it works for everyone. First of all, having the seeding games allows teams that are in the playoffs to have a preseason. And then it also allows teams that were not in the playoffs. I don't think it would be fair. Now, life's not fair, so I hate even using that word. But I really don't think it would have been fair to have those teams that are a half a game back, one game back, not make it into the playoffs when in the remainder of their games, they could have clinched a playoff spot. And from the bottom dollar and for the fans, it gives you another chance to see your team, your favorite players. You know, it gives you another chance to see more basketball. So do you agree with the way that the league has returned and having seeding games? Or do you think that to jump on the Grizzlies bandwagon, it's not fair? And they should have just had maybe the teams that were top 8 clinched and they're in. And then everybody else is just playing just for, I don't know, for kicks and giggles.
Well, first of all, like, I think the NBA has done a terrific job in making, you know, a mess into something that can still be really, like, you know, some of substance playoff run. And so however they came up with it, I had no complaints whatsoever. But the Grizzlies, it's like, yeah, you have a point, but it's like, look, if you guys are the AC and you all feel like you deserve the AC, Your first three games were against teams who were trying to get that AC. And so you came out, you had mm-hmm. the game against Portland that they blew and let Portland come back and end up winning. They had the game against the Spurs that they should have won. They ended up losing that by 2. And then they lost to the Pelicans by 10 points. So, like, you played the teams who you could have just, like, made a statement of, we're better than y'all. We should be considered amongst the final 8 playoff teams. And you tanked those 3 matchups. And now you got the Jazz next. And now you lost one of your best players. So it's just like, they're a young team, and I think they will understand now. It's just like, this is a business. And at the end of the day, you got to handle business when you are able to handle business, because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. And a perfect example, you see that now they're really short-handed, and they're going to really have to fight with, one of their key young stars.
Yeah, it's that mindset of, instead of talking about it, just show it right on the floor. If you're the number 8 seed, you have, just like everybody else, has a chance to get in. They actually the upper hand, since they already were at number 8. They just come in, handle business, then nothing else matters. It doesn't matter the fact that they're seeding games. You show that you're number 8, you clinch that spot, you're in. But if you come in and you're too focused on everything else around it, you know, that is when you're going to see, like they have, games that they should win that they're losing. And I do agree with you. I love the way that the NBA has returned. I think it was so messy in the pause and not knowing, you know, what was going to happen with sports as a whole. But out of all professional leagues, I think the NBA has done the best job, and one of the best, if not the best job, of giving a little bit of everything. The bubble does unfortunately force players and coaches and staff to sacrifice and not be around their family, but it protects everybody that's in the bubble. And then also having seeding games, you're not getting a full season like you're seeing some leagues are still trying to do, but it's not just a playoff like in soccer. They just did more like a postseason tournament. Right. It's not just the postseason tournament. You're getting a little bit of both.
Like a round robin. And then
exactly. I applaud the league. Marcus, thank you for joining us for the second day here on Locked On Wizards. Let people know where they can follow you to keep up with all you're doing.
Well, on social, I'm at Gucciavelli, GOOCHAVELI. And then also make sure, you follow, what we're doing at The Undefeated on Twitter, at The Undefeated, Instagram, Undefeated ESPN, Facebook, The Undefeated Site. So, we're still grinding and, following all of the struggles that, is taking place around, social justice and what's going on in this country. Also, what's going on with COVID, how it's affected by the Black community as well, things of that nature. So, lots of stuff to report on and cover. So, like I said, I appreciate you inviting me on, and thank you.
And we'll see what happens out of the East. Looking like the Nets and Magic are going to sit in that 7-8 spot. We're not sure who's going to finish 7, who's going to finish 8. But for the West, still a battle to see who's going to finish at that number 8 seed, and probably going to be a play-in game. Marcus, thank you again for joining the show. And for those of you that are listening, be sure to hit that subscribe button. Follow us on all streaming platforms at Locked On Wizards to keep up with the latest news on the Wizards and around the NBA. I'm your host, Renee Washington. I hope you have a great rest of your day. And I'll see you right back here for more Locked On Wizards. Washington, out.